Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Ted Vavamud Bet, about 18 lines up. Tanu Banan, Marata Esther Zimnat Haman. What was Esther thinking when she invited Haman to the Suda, to the Mishteh that she has? Belozomer Pachim Tamnalo, that she was trying to ensnare him. She was setting up traps for him. Shneamar, Hihi Shulchanam Lifnehem Lepach, that their tables should be before them, like to ensnare them or to make them into a trap. She learned it from the house of her forefathers. Shneamar, because it says in Mishlei, Imra Ev Sonacha Hachileyu Lechem. So if your enemy is hungry, you should feed him. So say over here, she brought him to the Su'udah. That she wanted to keep him in sight because she was afraid that he was actually going to rebel and possibly overthrow Achashverosh. He said that the Sha'am Sacheket Lo. Things were going well for Haman right now, and maybe he thought that he could take over the whole kingdom. Rabbi Hudomer, Kadei Shali Akiru Bashi Yudit. As a way to throw people off her scent that she was Jewish, because by inviting Haman, who's clearly a Jew hater, that made it or seem like she wasn't a Jew. Rabbi Nechemi Omer, Kadei Shali Imru Yisrael Achot Yesh Lanu Bebeit HaMelech. So the Jews shouldn't say we have a sister in the king's palace. And therefore they say, we're all safe. She'll take care of us. And we don't have to daven anymore. So she wanted them to realize that things were still on the line. That's a good question. I don't know how well known it was. Just a note on this, that there are two different stories that are happening. There's the story as you read it in the Megillah, and there's the story as you read it in the Gemara. In the story in the Megillah, there is a small religious note that's taking place where Esther says, I'm going to fast, please go and, you know, have the people beseech Hashem on my behalf. But as far as knowing that they're Jewish or making it clear that it's Jewish, that's something that doesn't seem to be true. I mean, the only way that Haman knows that Mordechai is Jewish is because he tells the other advisors at the time that he's Jewish. Otherwise, they didn't know he was Jewish. And the same would be true for Esther. So I'm saying, as far as reading the Megillah itself, then you wouldn't get that impression. When you read Chazal, and the way the Chazal described Mordechai and Esther, they are leaders of the generation, he's part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, she's his first cousin, all of those things would indicate that they did know that they were Jewish. So, if you look at through the prism of the Megillah itself, then you would say they probably did not know. If you look at through the prism of Chazal, which we're speaking by now, then they probably did know she was Jewish according to that prism of Chazal, and that's, I think they're commenting in that context. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kadei Shematzui La Becholet. He suggests that she tried to keep him in her presence at all times to see if she could find an opening in order to trip him up. Shimon Ben Asi Omer, Ulay Yargish HaMakom V'yaseh Lanu Nes. He said maybe it was a way to engender or facilitate Rachamim Min HaShemayim because she was willing to invite her enemy and she had to take care of her enemy. That's one possibility, Rashi notes. Or that Hashem will see that I have to patronize and I have to be machnif this individual and be mezelzel b'kvodi so that he'll bring us a miracle because he realizes what we have to go through right now. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Omer, Asbir lo panim, kadei she'areg hu v'hi. I will try to seduce him or entice him and that get the king to think that there's something going on between us and then we'll both be killed. Or she says that maybe one of us would die, and that would undo the gzeirah. We actually saw this earlier in the Gemara and Tanit, that there was some sort of misora. It was true with regards to the Romans. Here the Gemara is applying it to the Persians as well, that if a gzeirah was put in place and one of the leaders of the government passed away, they saw that as a bad omen, and they removed the gzeirah. So Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Melech Hafach V'chan Haya. He was a king known to change his mind. He was very fickle. So she figured if she had Haman there and the king was fickle, that maybe something would change or she could get him to change his mind about something. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Adayin Tzrichim Anu Lemodai. We still need the Modai, the Tanya of Elazar Modai. Omer Kinato Bemelech Kinato Basarim. That she engendered a certain amount of jealousy in the king as well as in the Sarim. So this way she could pretend that there was something going on between her and Haman, or the fact that Haman was invited. And that would make Ahasuerus start to question about why was Haman invited. And then she could sort of entrap Haman through that process. So we have the part of this idea is that the king Ahasuerus is obviously going to be paranoid about someone trying to take over the Malchut. And if she keeps inviting Haman to the Mishteh along with Ahasuerus, the king starts to wonder about this guy Haman. In addition to the fact when he invites Haman in, when he's thinking about what he should do for Mordechai, he asks Haman what he should do. And then Haman tells him, well, anybody like that, you should do such and such and such. He gives a whole list of items that they should do, which we're going to mention in the Gemara upcoming. And then all of a sudden we find that Ahasuerus says to him, do that to Mordechai. But if you look carefully at the story, the difference between what was told by Haman to the king versus what the king tells Haman to do, there's one thing that changes. The one thing that changes is the Keter Malchut. That Haman says that when he should do it, when he thinks it's going to happen to him, he says, yeah, and you should give him the king's crown. And Ahasuerus basically starts to realize that Haman is looking for the king's crown. When he tells him to do that to Mordechai, he leaves that out of the picture. He does not tell him to put the crown of the king on Mordechai. And so this statement over here about Rabbi Elazar Amodai is very similar again, which is that he indicates here that she was made the king jealous of him, and she made the princesses jealous of him, so that she engendered this feeling that Haman was really trying to usurp the power of Ahasuerus. We already have that story with Mordechai, and now again, she keeps inviting Haman along with the king, which seems to imply that either she sees something in Haman, or Haman is at that sort of level with the king. And that causes, or then leads to, whatever happens afterwards when she fingers Haman as being the evil one. Rabba Amar, Lifnei Shever Gaon, that before destruction comes pride. So that the Ga'ava leads to destruction. So she wanted to build up Haman so that he would have this sort of pride or haughtiness about him, which would lead to destruction. When they're in the heated state, I will take care of them in their feasts. So here Rashi says this references to Belshazzar after he returns from the battle with Koresh and Daryavish, where he's successful in the battle. He comes back and he celebrates with a big feast and dies at that feast on that day. And according to Chazal, where Vashti is a daughter of Belshazzar, so they see this as the continuation of that tradition that they would be caught at their feasts. So therefore she sees that that's been the precedent. You lost Belshazzar at a feast, you lost Vashti at a feast, so she should get Haman into a feast, because during that point in time when they are drinking and they get drunk, that it could end up that Hashem will take care of them or capture them in that moment. So Ashkechei Rabba Baravuna the Aliyahu Amalei Kaman Chazi Esther Vavdohochi. Basically asked him, look, we have all these reasons given as to why Esther invited Haman, and he wants to know which one of them is right. Amalei Kukulu Tanae Vekulu Amore. Gives a very politically correct answer, and he says, it's like all the Tanaim and all the Amoraim. Says they're all right, in that when she did it, her intentions were for all of those items that they mentioned. But this is the idea of Shivim Panim the Torah, that there are many different nuances and aspects of the Torah, and each one of them was picking up on a certain aspect of what was going through Esther's head at the time and why she invited Haman to the Mishteh. So now we're going to continue the Darshan, the Psukim, and the Megillah. It's a Perlehem Haman et Kvodo Shro v'Rov Banav. V'kama Rov Banav. How many, what is Rov Banav? Amarav Lamet. He had 30 children. Asara Meitu, 10 had passed away. Asara nitlu, 10 of them were hung. 10 of them were hanged. Vasara machzivin al ptachim, and 10 of them now are beggars going around to the doors and collecting. Rabbanan amre, otan shi machzivin al ptachim, those that are going around collecting and begging at the doors, shivim ava, really 70. Dichtiv, sveim balechem niskiru. So there, the Gemara is taking a play on the word, which there means sveim belechem, those that are satisfied with bread. But now he's saying, instead of altikras sveim, those that are satisfied, ela shivim, 70. Rami Bava Amar, kulan, mound here is Matayim Ushmonavu. There were 208 of them. Shneamar Virov Banav. Virov Vigematria Matan Varbesarav. Wait a minute. Virov in Gematria doesn't equal 208. It equals 214. Because they're counting the Virov. So you have two Vavs is 12. And then you have the Resh is 200, it's 212, plus the Bed is 2, is 214. And he's saying it's 208. It says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Virov Ktiv. It's written Chaser. Then it's written Chaser. There's one Vav missing, that gets you to the 28. Balayla hu nadadash nata melech. On that night, the sleep of the king was disturbed. So, Amar Rabbi Tanchum nadadah shnat Malko Shalulam. That's not just about speaking about Achashverosh, but the idea that the Melech that is mentioned in the Megillah references not only Achashverosh, but also references HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem also lost sleep on that night, meaning that he needed to change the script at that point in time, and that's what it means, Nadadash Nad Malko Shalulam, Kiilu. Rabbanan Amrei Nadadu Elyonim Nadadu Tachtonim, that it affected those above and those below. As Rashi says, "Nadu elyonim sheyu malachim avilim oto kol alayla." They were disturbing him all night. Ramlulo kafui tova. You are a ingrate. You never took care of the people that took care of you. Ve'yeshomrim. Rashi brings another interpretation. Nadu elyonim kadesh shirbu b'tachnonim levakesh al davar. That they were driving things so that people would have to ask for or daven to Hashem in order that they should have salvation. Rav Amar, Shnat HaMelech HaChashverosh Mamash. It was HaChashverosh's sleep that was disturbed. So, Naflele Milta Bedate. Something came into his head. He got this thought stuck in his head. Amar, Mai Dekaman is a Minte Esther LaHaman. What is going on that Esther keeps inviting Haman to the party, to the Mishteh? This is similar to what Rav Elazar Modai said before about Esther engendering a certain amount of jealousy in Achashverosh. So this is exactly what's going through his head. He says, why is she inviting Haman on to all these mishtot? So Dilma Eitza Kashakli Ilave. Maybe he's planning something against me. Dahau Gavra Lemiktale. He says that maybe he's intending to kill me or overthrow me. And maybe Esther's in on this. So Adam Har. So he thinks in his head, well, aren't there people who like me around here who would let me know if there was some sort of plan to overthrow me? There was a coup that was being planned over here. He says, maybe there was somebody who helped me out in the past and I didn't pay him back. Therefore, people won't reveal it to me or won't tell me because they say that I'm not grateful. I don't take care of those people who disclose this information. So he says, bring out the book in order that he can hear what was going on. So now the Gemara is moving through the Perek Vav and saying, so here the Gemara says, what does it mean, Nikraim? Mamed Shenikraim Elehem. That they were read by themselves. I mean, it spoke for itself. That nobody had to read them. They were as if it was being read by itself. And it says, Vayimatzei Katuv. So now the Gemara says, it should say, Vayimatzei Katav. That it was already Mibayil. It should be in the past tense that it was found written there. So what does that mean? That it's in the present tense that it's being written? Lamed. So we learn from this, Shamshai Mochek, V'Gavriel Kotev. So Shamshai is a Sofer HaMelech. It was one of the king's scribes, who was a hater of the Jews, and he was from the time of Koresh. He's mentioned in Sefer Ezra that he was one of the people that wrote the Sitna, wrote to stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash Yedei Klal Yisrael. And then Rashi connects that even to the time of Achashverosh, which is mentioned also that there was a sitna in the time of Achashverosh. So he says that same scribe was the one who was doing it in both cases. And he was out to make sure that things didn't go well for the Jews. So he suggests here that he was erasing that story that was written about Mordechai, the Gavriel Kotev. And Gavriel kept writing it back in. And that's why it's written in the present tense of Kotev that it was literally being written again because it kept getting erased. Amar Rabbi asked, Darosh Rabbi Shila Ish Kvarat Marta Uma Katav Shilamata Shilu Zuchutan Shisrael Enu Nimchak. You see down here, writing in the human world, which is for the benefit of the merit of Klal Yisrael, Enu Nimchak, doesn't get erased. Katav Shilamawa Lo Koshekein, something that is written above, sealed or decreed above for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, certainly that will be carried out and will be to the benefit of Klal Yisrael. So then the king asks, what do they do for Mordechai HaMelech? It says, Lo na'asa imo davar. Nothing was done for his benefit. Amarava, Lo mipnei shu'avim et Mordechai, Elo mipnei shu'sonim et Haman. Those people that were reading this or advising the king at that time, it wasn't because they found or had any love for Mordechai, but rather because they disliked Haman. Right, in the sense that even if they didn't like Mordechai, my enemy's enemy is my friend. So since Mordechai was the person that bothered Haman, or was the one that was the anti-Haman, so because of that, they said that we want Mordechai to be taken care of. So then, we know at that time that Haman shows up. Vayomer melech mi b'chatzer. Vaman ba lechatzer beit ha-melech ha-chitzona le-mor la-melech le-tlot et Mordechai le-etz asher hi-chin lo. He wants to hang him on the tree that he had prepared for him. So what is ve-hi-chin lo? Tano lo-hi-chin. That he-chin lo, which means that he prepared for him being Mordechai, so the Braita says, you have to read it, lo-hi-chin, that it ended up being prepared for him, meaning Haman himself. So then, vasekein le-Mordechai. After Haman gives a description of what he would do for somebody that the king wanted to show kindness and favor towards, the king says to Haman, "Vayomer melech Haman, maher kach et levush v'desus kasher dibart v'aseh kein leMordechai Yehudi. Go make sure that you do this to Mordechai." So then Haman says to him, "Amalei manu Mordechai. Who's this Mordechai? Amalei a Yehudi." Mordechai Yehudi. Amalei, Tuva Mordechai Ika B'Yudai. There are many people named Mordechai in the Jews. Amalei, Ayushev B'Shar HaMelech. The one that sits by the gate of the king or the gate of the palace. Very similar to the Midrash by Rachel Bitcha Ktana. When Yaakov asked Lavan, says Rachel, but not any Rachel, Bitcha, your daughter, and don't change your daughter's name, Haktana, the younger one. And the same thing with the Akedat Yitzchak. When God appears to Abraham, he says, "Et Yitzchak et Yichiducha Asher Ahavto, et Bincha et Yichiducha Asher Ahavto." There again, Ben Yichiducha Asher Ahavto. He goes through, and then finally he says Yitzchak. But the same idea that he's trying to narrow down the possibilities of who this is. So he makes it clear who this Mordechai is. So Amalei Sagile Bechad Diskarto Inami Bechad Naro. Why can't you just give him one village or one river, which he'll get the tax revenues from, and that's enough for him? Amalei, Hanami Havle. You know what? Good idea. We'll give him that too. Not only will it do whatever we said before, Al Tapel Davar Mikol Asher Dibarto. Don't leave out anything that you had stated. So not only the stuff that was mentioned before, but the additional items that Haman mentioned. Vayikach Haman et levush v'tasus. He goes to find Mordechai, and he finds the Rabbanan sitting before him. He was teaching them the halachot of kmitza. Rashi says the reason he was teaching them the halachot of kmitza was because it was in Yonah Shoyom. It was the Yonah de Yoma, because it was the 16th of Nisan, which was the day of the Omer. It was the day of the Omer, you have to do a kmitza for the Omer. So based on that, Rashi actually dates the process here and says that the days that they fasted were the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Those were the 3 days that they fasted. And the 16th was the final day of the fast in which this story takes place, where Mordechai is driven around and then finally Haman gets killed on that day. It's not necessarily in consonance with other midrashim that suggest that the fast was 13th, 14th, and 15th, or there are other midrashim of the Targum who has a different count, but at least according to the way Rashi views this Gemara, is that this what took place on the 16th of Nisan that Mordechai is teaching him this item. Kevan dechazir Mordechai, When Mordechai gets wind of the fact that Haman's coming, the apik lekable that he's coming with him is to say mechad biyadei, and he has this horse in his hands. Mirta, he started to shake. He was fearful. Amar Rabbanan, he says to the Rabbanan Arshia lemiktol nafshi kaati, this Russia is coming to kill me. Zilumi kamei, go run away from in front of me. Delo tichvu begachalato, that you should not be singed by his coal. Meaning that I don't want you to get hurt in this process, so you guys should leave because he's coming to kill me. Vayishata nitatev Mordechai. Mordechai gets up, wraps himself up in his talis, vikamle litzlota, and he gets up to Davin. At Haman v'yotiv leikamayhu. So Haman comes and sits and waits for him. Vorich ad disalik Mordechai litzlotei, and he sits around and waits until Mordechai finishes his tefillah. Amar lehu, b'mayas kitu. He asked the Rabbanon, the word that Talmidim they're around, what were you guys learning? Amrulei bizman shebeit mikdash kayam, the time that the Beit Mikdash was extant. Again, this is the view of Chazal, that Megillat Esther takes place between the time that Zerubbabel goes back and starts to build in time of Koresh, and before the Yavish Hasheni, where the Mikdash is finally completed. This is still within the 70 years of Galut Bavel. Man diminadev mincha maite male kumse de sulta, and someone who donates a mincha brings a fistful of solet, a fine flour, umit kaperle, and then he gets kapara. It's interesting that the Chachamim at that time answered this based on what Rashi says. Rashi said he was Doresh in Inyana Dioma, which was talking about a kometz of a chova, of a minchat omer. And here they're talking about a kometz of a minchat nidava, or maybe even of a chatat. For an oleo yoreid, but the chatat that comes as a mincha. So that's interesting, because that differs from what Rashi seems to indicate before. Amar lehu, ata male kumse kimcha didchu, your fistful of, or komets full of this solet, of this flower, came v'dachi asara alfe kikarei kaspa didi, came and overrode or knocked off the 10,000 kikarei kesef that I gave, talents of silver that I gave, which he had paid to Achashverosh, in order to permit him to annihilate the Jews. Tosfot over here says that Asara Alfei Kikarei Kaspo, says, Shamati, Shasara Alfei Kikar Kesef, Olim Chasi Shekel Lekol Echad Mi'Yisrael. That equals to a half shekel for everybody from Klal Yisrael, the 600,000 people. Problem is that math doesn't work out, because if you look in the Chumash gives you the count of how many Kikarei Kesef there are, and it doesn't come anywhere near 10,000. If you look in the Bach comes up with a calculation and says, no, it's not for 1 year. But rather, it's the Chatzi Shekel that would be given by the 600,000 over a period of time from the age that they were 20 until they were 70, because that was the average lifespan of a person, Shivim Shana. So from 20 to 70 is 50 years. So if you multiply by 50, then it comes out to this number. But the basic idea is that Haman sees his plan being unwound here. And Chazal are pointing out that it's this limud Torah that is causing it to override the what Haman had put in place, or the shkalim they put in place. We have the other midrashim that say that the shkalim of Klal Yisrael came before the shkalim of Haman. That's part of why we read Parshat Shkalim going into the month of Adar, that the shkalim that we gave in the time of the Midbar preceded the shkalim of Haman, and they overrode, or they were able to undermine the plan of Haman. Amar lei, so they said to him, Rasha, Eved shekana nechasim, Eved lemi unechasim lemi. An Eved, a servant or a slave that acquires money or acquires possessions, who does the slave belong to, and who does the possession belong to? Of course, to the owner. This goes back to the Agadato that mentioned before that Haman was an Eved to Mordechai. So therefore, the money that he gave to Achashverosh really wasn't his money. That's what they're pointing out. Amalei kum levushane imane berochov haisusio. Says, put on this clothing and come ride on the horse. Debailach malko, because the king wants to see you. Amalei lo yechilna, I can't do that. Ad ailina the beibani eshkolamazio, until I go into the bathhouse and I cut my hair. The way I look, it's not proper for me to go ahead and use or put on the clothing of the king. partly because he had been fasting for 3 days now, and therefore he didn't feel that he was in a presentable state. So Shadrach Esther, Vesertinu Dokuler Beibani. Esther somehow got wind of this and shuts down all the bathhouses in the city, Dokuler Umne, and all of the barbers in the city. So Ili Ihu the Beibani. So therefore, there's only one person left to take care of Mordechai now, and that's Haman. He takes him into the bathhouse, v'aschen, he washes him, v'alzavate zuza mibeite, and he goes and gets a pair of scissors from his house, kashake be'mazio, and he cuts his hair. V'hadi de kashake le ingad v'itnach. So at the time that he's doing the cutting, either he gets hurt, or he has this pang, v'itnach, and he sighs. Amalei, amai kai mitnachat. Why are you sighing? Amalei. Gavra dahava choshiv le the malka mikulhu raver benohi. Person who was more important to the king than all the other ministers. Hashli shave blane visapar. I became now a bathhouse attendant and a barber. Amalei rosha. Velav sapar shel kvar kartzum aita. Weren't you the barber for the city or the village of Kartzum? Tahanon, we have this Misora and a Braita, Haman Sapar Shel Kvar Kartzum Haya, 22 Shana. He was the barber for the village of Kartzum for 22 years. So therefore he goes, you're just going back to your roots. But to the Shaklin of the Maziyeh, so after he cut his hair, Lavshinu Lamane, he puts the clothing that Achashverosh has sent onto Mordechai. Amalei Sak Verachot, he says, mount the horse and ride. Lelo Yachilna Dechisha Chelai. He says, I can't do it. I'm too weak because he's been fasting for 3 days. I'm just too weak. I can't get up on the horse. Mimei tanita, because of the fast. Gochin. So Haman has to bend down with Salik. Kisalik badbe. So Haman bends down to pick him up or allow him to step on him to go up. While he's going up, he gives him a good kick. Samalei, lok tivduchu. Isn't it written in Mishlei? Bin folei vecha al tismach. You're not supposed to rejoice at the downfall of your enemies. Clearly, that's what was taking place over here. Samalei, hani milei b'Yisrael. That's only true by Jews. Aval b'ditchu k'tiv, when it comes to you, ata al b'meteimo tidroch. You should stomp on their high places, on their bamot. So there is no requirement of a b'nfolei vecha al tismach in that case. That was one of the answers that we spoke about back on Daf Yud Amud Bet. Towards the end of the Daf, where we spoke about this issue, b'nfolei vecha al tismach. This is one of the distinctions that's made here, the difference between whether it's talking about Israel or it's talking about another nation. And then he has to do this, and he gets him dressed up, and it says, then, Vayikra lefanav, kacha yasadish, asher amelech hafetz bikaro. Kavanoki vazel b'shvilo ad behaman, when he was going down the street in which his house was, chazita brate, tekaima igra. His daughter, who was standing up on the roof, saw her father, what she thought was her father. Savra, hide the rochi vavua. She thought that who was on the horse was clearly her father. Hide the misgi kamei, Mordechai. And the one who was dragging him along the street had to be Mordechai. Shlakla atzitza, the big takise. She took out the urinal, or the toilet, basically. Shadita resha, and she dumped it on his head. But it turns out that shadita resha davua. She dumped it on her father's head. Dali eine. He lifted up his head, or she looked up, v'chazat davuahu, and now she realizes that it's her father. Nafla me'igra la'aro, she falls off the roof, umeita and dies. V'hainu dichtiv, and that's what it says, after they complete this whole procession, and everything is done, it says there, v'yoshav Mordechai el shara melech, he goes to back where he was before, v'aman nidchaf el beito, avel v'chafui rosh. And man rushes back to his house, avel, a mourner, the chafui rosh, and a disheveled head or a bent down head, covered head. So now the Gemara explains, why is that? He goes back to what he was doing before, which is his sackcloth and fasting. He was a mourning over his daughter who had been lost now. The chafui rosh, and his head was covered. Because of what had transpired here, meaning that his daughter dumped the stuff on his head. It says there that Haman tells Lezeresh Ishto Cholav et Kol Asher Karau, Vayom Rulok Chachamav Lezeresh Ishto. So they respond to him. Karlu Ohavav, and one time it calls that his wife together with his loved ones, then Karlu Chachamav, and then it says that they were the Chachamim. So they see these as being synonymous. And then Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Amer Davar Chachma, Afilu Bumot Olam Nikra Chacham. The title Chacham is not unique or relegated to the Jews, but there are Yesh Chochma Bagoyim. And therefore, that someone who is a wise person that says something that is meaningful and makes sense, then they also called a Chacham. Why were they called Chachamim? Because of the advice that they give to Haman now. It says that the pasuk continues and says, "Im mizera Yehudim Mordechai asher hichlota limpol lefanav." If he's from the a descendant of the Jews, and that's who you've begun to fall down before him, lo tuchalo, you will not overcome him. Kinafol tipol lefanav, you're going to completely fall to him. Amrulei im mishar shvatim kaate yachalte. If he came from any other shevet, you'd be okay. But im mishevet Yehuda ben Yamin Ephraim Menasheh, if he's in one of these four shvatim, lo yachalte, you will not overcome him. Yehuda dichte, because it says by Yehuda yedecha beorif oyvecha, your hand will be on the neck, or the nape of the neck of your enemies. Inach dichtibu, and the other shvatim that we just mentioned here, which are Benjamin, Ephraim, and Menasheh, because it says in Tehillim, lifnei Ephraim, Benjamin, and Menasheh, ora et gvuratecha. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Menasheh, you will kindle up your strength, you will bring your strength to bear, meaning that you're going to destroy the enemy. Kinafol tipol lefanav, darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, shtei nifilot halalo lama. Why does it say nafol tipol? So I said, why does it say twice? Or the double language? Amalo, umazu mishulal afar, umishulal kochavim. This nation is compared to the dust of the earth as well as to the stars. Kshen yordim, yordim ad afar. When they're down and out, they go down to the dirt, the bottom of the bottom. Kshen olim, olim ad kochavim. But they, when they excel and when they do good, they rise until the stars. Which actually is Minyan Adiyoma in Parshat Dvarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu says to people that you had all these petty complaints and you were making all this trouble, he says, and Hashem made you kuchukhvei Hashemayim larov. He made you like the stars of the heaven. So there you can say the same thing. You have that contrast of the behavior of the people that they were being petty and they had all this litigation going on. And that's why Moshe needs help. On the other hand, that they're kuchukhvei Hashemayim larov. Hashem made them like the kochavim. So on one side you have their little petty quarrels. Another side, the kikochvei shemaim, they're like the kochavim. So again, that's the contrast with this idea that they go mikzei al kzei. V'sarisei ha-melech higiu v'yavilu. So while he's still speaking to Zeresh and his advisors, for Zohavav, it says, Zodam yedabrim mimo v'sarisei ha-melech higiu v'yavilu l'avi et aman el mishte asher asta ester. V'yavilu melameid sheviu b'behela. They brought him in a rush, and as Rashi says, that he was didn't get a chance to shower or change. He came in with all the dirt dumped on him. And then we have now the story that continues, where Esther now has him at the second party, and Achashverosh wants to know what's going on here. And she says, I want you to explain. Kinim nikarnu ani v'ami lashmin l'rog l'abeid. Had we just been sold for slaves or servants, I wouldn't have said anything because it's not worth the king's time for this. But that's not what happened here. Someone has a plan to annihilate us, so therefore I had to speak up. Amrlo, tsar ze eno shoveh ben ezek ha-melech. So now the Gemara rereads and says, tsar, this pain referring to Haman, is not worth it for the king to keep around. Ikne ba bevashti v'katla. He got jealous or upset of Vashti and he had her killed. That's based on the Midrashim I saw earlier, that Memuchan was one of the advisors to Achashverosh in that incident, and the Gemara equates Memuchan with Haman. Hashtek ni bididi, now he's jealous of me, umivayla miktali, and he wants to kill me. Vayomer melech Achashverosh, vayomer the Esther Amalka, vayomer lomali. If the Achashverosh is speaking, why does the Megillah used the word Vayomer twice, if it's the same person speaking? Amar Rabbi Bo, b'tchila ayidei turguman. Before that, they did it through a intermediary, because she was not considered to be of royal lineage. Kevin damrale midibet Shaul katino. After she explained that she's from the house of Shaul, of royalty, Vayomer l'Esther amakah, he speaks directly to her. Batomer Esther ish tzar ve'oyev aman ra'azeh. She was really pointing at Achashverosh. And he turns her hand towards Haman, meaning that she sees in Achashverosh, at least according to Chazal, somebody not much different than Haman, that he's just as willing or even more willing than Haman to annihilate the Jews, and he's just as happy to have it that way. So when she says Ish Tzar Ve'Oyev, she's about to point to Achashverosh, and the Malach pushes it over to Haman. The king gets up in his anger. So he goes out. After he gets angry, he takes a walk outside. And then, V'amelech shav miginat abitan el beit mishteh yayin, v'aman nofel el mitah asher ester alah, v'amelech agam lichvosh at amakah yimi b'bayit, adavar yatsa mipi amelech, upenei chaman chofu. So over here, V'amelech kam v'chamato melech shav miginat abitan mekish shiva l'kima. His return was like his leaving. Makima b'chema, just like when he left, he was angry. Af shiva b'chema, when he came back, he was also angry. Tazal v'ashkach tamalech yashereit, did mulei kegavrei, he goes outside and he sees Malachi Asherit that look like people. And they were uprooting the trees in his garden, in his beautiful orchard. Amar Lahu, my Ubdaihu, what are you doing over here? Amar Lahu, the Bhaktin and Aman. Aman told us we should do this. That's why he was still upset at Aman. Why Aman told him to do this is not clear, but you could surmise it's because he needed a very large tree on which to hang Mordechai. So he came back into the house. V'aman nofel al amita. And Aman was falling on the bed, on the couch, along with Esther. Now it says, again, here it uses nofel in the present tense, instead of nafal mi ba'ile, that he had already fallen. I mean, he was already on the bed. So what does it mean, nofel? That a malach came and forced him to fall on the bed. Amar, v'aymi beita, v'aymi baro. Whoa. In the house, whoa, outside? In that outside, you're having all my trees taken out. Over here, you're taking the queen with you. Then we have the story of Charvona. The king says to hang him on it. So Charvona speaks up all of a sudden. Charvona was part of the plan of Haman. He was just as happy to be along there with Haman. But then, when he saw that Haman's plans weren't working out, things weren't going the right way, he was a fair weather friend. And he basically dropped him when he saw that Haman was not going to succeed. And now he flips over to the other side. And tells Achashverosh, oh, listen, we got this tree here that he wanted to hang Mordechai on. V'aynu dechtiv, and that's what is meant in the pasuk, in Yova, yeshlech alav, v'yelo yachmo, they'll send it upon him without any mercy, miado baroach ivrach, from his hand, and they will take flight, and they will flee away. So the same thing happened over here. When things were going well for Haman, everybody was hanging on, but as soon as things didn't go well, they all took off, and that's what Charvona left him. Chamat ha-melech shachcha. And then the anger of the king was assuaged. Shtei shechichot alalu. So why is it in the melech shachacha, the Gemara sees it as being plural, or two angers. So then what is that? Achad shel malko shel olam, v'achad shel Achashverosh. It was because there were two angers that were assuaged over here. It was Akash Baruch Hu, the king of the world, and melech Achashverosh. When the others say that it was Esther and Vashti who had both been threatened or hurt by Haman. So you see here, again, the Gemara playing on this idea that the Melech in the Megillah has a double reference. It references Akash Baruch Hu as well as Achashverosh. And Achashverosh is really just the messenger of Akash Baruch Hu in carrying out the plans of Akash Baruch Hu over here. Now the Gemara goes to Darshan about Yosef and the brothers. It says, "Lukulam natan ilish chalifot smalot, ul Binyamin natan chamesh chalifot." He gives all of them a change of clothing. To Binyamin, he gives them 5 changes of clothing. So the Gemara says, "I can't believe it. Epshar davar shenit dar bo oto tzadik, the same thing that caused Yosef all the trouble that he had, ikashel bo, he's going to do it again, because damar rover bar machsio amar rav chamer bar guri amar rav." Because of the 2 sela worth of fine silk, Shahusif Yaakov Yosef, that Yaakov added on to Yosef's cloak, Bishar Echav, that he gave him to an additional to what his brothers had, Nitgagila, the Varvi Duabatena Mitzrayim. That's what caused or precipitated the problems between Yosef and his brothers and led us down to Mitzrayim. So over here, what does that mean that Mishkal Shnei Slayim Milat? We know that Yaakov gives Yosef a Ketonet Pasim. So what was unique about this Ketonet Pasim? So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that it was Mishkal Shnei Slayim Milat. It had extra to it. Now the extra to it can come in two places. One possibility is that it was a longer Ketonet than the brothers had. Or the other possibility, which I've heard from Rav Yoel Binun, suggests over here that it was actually, he had longer sleeves. His sleeves went down to his hands or longer sleeves. The implication of both of these is the same, which is that the people who have the longer tunics and the ones who have the long sleeves are those that are not working. They are the supervisors. The one who's working can't have his ketonet be too low and can't have his arms covered all the way down because it'll get ripped or ruined when he does that. So the working people roll up their sleeves, right, both literally and figuratively, and they make sure that their ketonet's off the ground or not too low down so it doesn't get ruined. So by his father giving him the longer ketonet and the longer sleeves, then the implication is that he's going to be supervising them. He's not going to be the one doing the work. He's going to be the supervisor. And that's what he does, actually. He sends them out when Yosef, he sends Yosef to go see how his brothers are doing. He sends them out to see them in Doitan. He says, go find out how your brothers are doing. And when they see him coming, they're like, oh, that dreamer is coming here. But basically, he's coming to supervise. He's coming to check up on us. He's coming to tell on us. He's going to do all those things. And that's this Shnei Slayim Milat, that the extra cloth that he had was indicative of the fact that he wasn't working. He wasn't part of them, but rather he was some sort of supervisor, overseer of them. And that's the way Yaakov uses Yosef. So if that's what precipitated the whole problem here, why would Yosef go ahead and do the same thing again by favoring Binyamin? So Amar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet, Remez Ramazlo. It was a remez that he gave to him. Shatid ben latzeit menu, shetzei melefnei hamelech b'chamisha levushei malchut. There will be a descendant of Binyamin who will go out before the king in the five clothes or glorious clothes of the royalty. Shehemar, and that's Mordechai Yatzah b'levush malchut, t'chelet, so on and so forth. So that is the pasuk that we just read here about what is done to Mordechai. And that which is done for Mordechai was hinted to already by Yosef when he gave Chamesh Chalifot to Binyamin. Then continues with the story from Bereishit, Vayipol al Tzaverei Binyamin. When Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, it says that he falls on the necks of Binyamin, Achiv, his brother. Kama Tzavereim avayulah Binyamin. How many necks did Binyamin have that he writes Tzaverei Binyamin in the plural? Rashi says that you should drop this from the Girsa. It makes no sense. He says that there are many times throughout the Torah that the word Tzavarei is used in a plural form, and it, of course, just means the neck, and it's a poetic way to say it, and it doesn't have any meaning. But, at least the Gemara says here, Amar Belazar, Becha shnei mikdashim shatidim liot b'chalko shebinyamin, batidim lecharev. He was crying, Minyana diyoma, he was crying on the necks of Binyamin, because the Beit HaMikdash is built in the area of Binyamin, as well as Yehudah, but the major, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the major areas in the site of the Mikdash are in the area of Shevet Binyamin. And Yosef was crying on his neck to symbolize the fact that these two Mikdashot, or these that will be there, the Mikdashim that will be there, will eventually be destroyed. And that's what he was crying about. O Binyamin Bachal Tzavarav. And Binyamin cries on Yosef's neck. Bachal Mishkan Shiloh Shatid Liot B'chalkosh Yosef Atid Liharev. That he was crying the other way around, that for the Mishkan that would be in Shiloh and be in the parts of Yosef, and then was going to be destroyed. So they're crying on each other's necks to represent the idea of the future destruction that will take place in those items that are found in their respective areas. So then Yosef says to his brothers, Hinei nechem ra'ot ve'nei achi Binyamin. Your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin. I have nothing against, no grudge against Binyamin. So he had nothing to do with my being sold. He says, I have nothing against you as well. I mean, I don't hold a grudge against you. He says that the way that I am speaking, like my mouth is speaking to you, the way I'm speaking, that's what's in my heart. Ulaviv shalach kazot asarach hamorim nosim mituv Mitzrayim. Sends the best of Mitzrayim. He sends up to his father. My mituv Mitzrayim. What are the best of the delicacies of Mitzrayim? Amar bin Yamin bar Yefet. Amar Abelazar shalach lo yain yashan. Send him old wine. Shadad zukenim nochai menu, which is pleasing to those that are older. Velchu gam echavi pelu lefanav. Then his brothers come and fall before him. Amar Rabbi Binyam bin Yefet, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Hainu damre inche. This is what people say. Talo bidone, a fox in his time, sogidle, bow down to him. Gemara says, Talo may bitzurete meachva. Elait marachit mar. If you read it, it should be this way, which is vayishtachu yisrael rosh mita. That here you have, but the brothers and Yosef, their peers. So the fact that they bow down to him is not something exceptional. And why is he any different than his brothers that you should make a statement like that? Then when you have a fox in his time, you should bow down to him. But that wasn't, shouldn't have been beneath their kavod or their dignity because they were peers. So the Gemara then amends the statement to say, no, this is what it means. Veishtach Yisrael Rosh HaMitah, when Yosef comes to see his father, and when he is ill, it says there that he gets up and he bows down by the head of his bed. Then, Amar Rabbi Yamin Ben Yefet, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Talabi Idanei Sagidle. A fox in his time, then you bow down to him. That's why Yaakov bows down to Yosef. Even though from the side of respect, Yaakov is his father, he doesn't need to bow down to him. But, says when the king is here, or the Mishneh LeMelech, and the fox is here, and he is in power, then you make sure to bow down to him. V'nachem otam, v'yedaber alibam. So Yosef consoles them and speaks to their hearts. Amar Rabbi Binyamin Be'afet, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Melameit, Shemar Lahem Dvarim, Shemitkablim Alalev. He spoke to them words that are, make, put people at ease. Uma asara neirot lo yachul lechabot neiracha, just like 10 candles couldn't blow out one candle, meaning that the brothers who sold Yosef and tried to eliminate him didn't work. Neiracha, who's me, Yosef, heyach yachol lechabot asara neirot, I can't blow out 10 candles. So that was how he was trying to calm them or put them at ease. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk that we say in Havdalah, the pasuk from Megillah that says, La'yudim ha'ita ora, v'simcha, v'soson, v'ikar. And the Gemara is going to dash in the pasuk. What does that mean? Amar Rav Yehuda, ora, zu Torah. Ora refers to Torah, v'chein hu omer. And it says in Mishlei, kiner mitzvah, v'torah or. That a candle is like a mitzvah, and Torah is like the light. You see that the ora must be referencing Torah. Simcha ze yom tov. The simcha that's mentioned there is the celebration, the feasting. That's what it says. You should be happy on your holidays. Rejoice on your holidays through feasting. Sason zu mila. The word sason references mila. V'cheinu omer sasanochi al imratecha. Kamotze shalom rav. So it says, I rejoice on your word as if I found some great booty or great bounty. It happens to be the pasuk that we say at the brit mila. This is said by the Mohel that's performing the Brit Milah. He says this pasuk. And the rejoicing here, al imratecha, imratecha is, as Rashi points out, because by the tzivoy of Milah, that was only given by the word vayomer and not vayidaber. So there's an amirah. So the mitzvah that's given through an amirah is the mitzvah of Milah. And there it says sas about it, which the Gemara now equates to sason. Vikar elut filin. And that those things that are precious and give one kavod, that's the tefillin. Chenu omer veru'u kol amei aretz, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha, that all the nations of the world see that God's name is upon you. Vayaru mimekeka, and you, they'll be afraid of you. B'tanya, Rabbi Elezer, gadol omer, elu tefillin shel rosh. That's referencing the tefillin shel rosh. Over here you have a order that's written down in the pasuk, which is, Aydim ha'ita ora v'simcha v'sosan v'ikar. Ora zu Torah, simcha is the mishted, is the feast, or is the reference to Purim itself. Sason is a reference to the Milah, Vikar is a reference to the Tefillin. So what's interesting here is that this actually has halakhic implications, which is in Tafresh Tzadi Gimel, towards the end there, the Ramah comments about, this is the Seder of davening on that day, and he says, Hagan, ki yesh Milah b'Purim, when you have a Brit Milah in Purim, malin et etino kodem kriyat ha-Megillah, you have a Brit Milah before you read the Megillah. So now, if you look on the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes, why? V'smach lezeh dechtiv la'idim ha'ita ora v'simcha v'sason. V'sason merameiz ala milah. So you see that sason is mentioned by the milah, and therefore, you give the brit milah before you read the Megillah. It says, v'aprach katav, p'chodosh wrote, di'aktim kriyat Megillah. You put kriyat Megillah first. V'chein mash be'er agra. And that sounds like what the Gra believes as well. because he does not understand this Rama over here. So first of all, this is consistent with the opinion of the Gra with regards to when you have a conflict between the mitzvah of Megillah and any other mitzvah, Megillah gets precedence. So of course you should read the Megillah before you do the Brit Milah. But it also, the Gra and the Brit Chodesh seem to reject it, but also have to do with the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk itself says, La'idimaita Ora, which would imply Kriyata Torah. And then if you say that the Simcha references to Purim, then you have Sason references to the Brit Milah, that would imply, and Bikar would be Tefillin, but it would imply that that should be the order. You should do Kriyata Torah, Brit Milah, and then, Kriyata Torah, Kriyata Megillah, and then Brit Milah, based on the order in the Pasuk, which is, Edimayit Ora, V'Simcha, V'Sason, Bikar. So that's probably the basis for the belief of the Brit Chodesh and the Gra, that when it says here Sason, right, does refer to Milah, but it might be after the Megillah because of the Gemara's we learned earlier. Again, when there's a conflict between the mitzvah of Megillah and other mitzvot, we give precedence to the Megillah. Also the fact that in the order of the Pasuk, it has Ora as Torah, and then it has Simcha, which is Purim, prior to Sason, the Megillah. Bet Parshan Dato, Aseret B'nei Haman, Amarav Adu Min Yofo, Aseret B'nei Haman, V'Aseret Tzarech Lememrin, U'B'Nishima Achat. The 10 sons of Haman, as well as the word aseret at the end, you have to say that in one breath. My time, says Kula Bade Adodi Nafkunishmatayu. They all passed away at the same moment. That's why you do it in one shot. Now the Beit Halevi adds a big Torah here about this idea that you have to say it b'nishima achat. One of the points that he makes here, he makes it with regards to this b'nishima achat, and he also makes it with regards to Birkat Kohanim, which is that we have a principle in general, which is Shomea Kone. That a person who listens to something is as if he is saying it, and he's Yotze. So you listen to someone read the Megillah, and therefore you're Yotze with the Megillah. Same thing with Birkat Kohanim. A Kohen can say the Birkat Kohanim, another Kohanim can listen and be Yotze with the Bracha of the individual. What he points out is that's only true with the core idea of something that has to be said or spoken over. But by both of these items, there's actually an additional requirement. By Birkat Kohanim, there's a requirement on the Kohanim that they do it B'kol Ram. That they do it with a loud voice, and they say it very loudly. So as far as Shomea Kone is concerned, the person who's saying it can transfer the actual saying of it to you. But he can't transfer to you, or what you can't be Yotze with his statement is the Kol Ram aspect of it, which is the fact that he says it loudly, because that's a trapping that is not directly have to do with the actual words that come out, but it's an enhancement that you have to put onto it. So that enhancement cannot be accomplished through Shomea Kone. And therefore, when it comes to Birkat Kohanim, every Kohen has to say the Birkat Kohanim. You can't do it the way you Shomea Kohen because they all have a requirement of Koram. Says the same thing is true here with regards to Neshima Achat by the Megillah. Why does the Chazan stop by here and then has the whole Kaal say it, Neshima Achat by themselves, and then the person who's reading the Megillah continues afterwards? He says for the same reason. As far as the reading of the Megillah, you can be Yotze with that individual. But here you have an additional trapping which has to be done in Neshima Achat. Shema Achat, he can't pass on to you through Shomea Keone, and therefore you have to read it yourself. So we stop over here to read it by ourselves to do the Nishima Achat aspect of it, which cannot be accomplished through Shomea Keone. And based on that, that's how he explains our minog to read the Aseret B'nei Haman ourselves until the Aseret B'nei Haman, and then have the Chazan go over it afterwards because Shomea Keone would not suffice over here because of the requirement of Nishima Achat. So Rabbi Yochanan, Vav di Vaizato tzarich le mimtecha b'skifa. The Vav of Vaizato should be stretched down and stood up. Kimordaya delivrot. And you have to lengthen out the Vav like a boat pole in the river of Livrot. And something very straight and upright. And the reason being, because kulo b'chad z'kifa is t'kifu, because they're all hanged on a single pole or hanged one on top of each other in a single line. Therefore, you draw the vav very long to indicate that that was the way that they were put to death. And now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Dorish Rabbi Shila Ishkvar Tamarta Kol Hashirot Kulam Nichtavot Ariach Agabi Leveinah Leveinah Agabi Ariach. All the Shirot in the Torah are written with Ariach is half of Leveinah, half of brick. But you have writing, gap, writing. And underneath it, it's just the opposite. The gaps sit under the writing, and the writing sits in the empty spaces. That's the way that a Shira is normally written in Torah, which is that on the rows, you have alternating between a writing space writing, and then the next line will be space writing space, and then the following line will be writing space writing. That's how you build it up, which you have these bricks that are basically resting upon each other. Chutz, the exception to that, Mishirazu, this song referring to the sons of Haman that are listed here, enumerated here, Umalchei Kanan, and the Malchei Kanan that Yoshua defeats, Shariach, Agabi Ariach, Levena, Agabi Levena. There are the empty spaces on top of the empty space, and the bricks are on top of the bricks. It's similar to the way that Hazinu is laid out in the Torah. My Taima, Shalot Ein Tekuma L'Malpotan, that there should be no getting up to their destruction or to their falling. So here, if they were knocked down, we don't want to be put up. So we have it in a row, in a stacked row, so when they fall off, there's nowhere to go back to. So he gives Esther the tally of the individuals that were killed by the Jews in Shushan HaBirah. Malach came and smacked them in the face. And then you have this statement about Vayomer Lamelech Lester. He gives her the report about Shushan. So the idea that the Malach slapped in the face was because he was actually coming to accuse her and say, look what you guys did. And he was angry about what happened in Shushan HaBirah. So Malach comes and slaps him to change his mind about it and say, okay, you know, what do you want to do about this? So why does it say, when it comes before the Melech, Amar, why is it Amar? So it's Amar, Amra mi baile, she should be speaking. So Amar Yochanan, Amra lo, Yomar bepeh, mashakatu besefer. That you have to say over what's written in the sefer. So that you have to, or what, the suggestion over here is that you read a mitoch haktav. You have to say over whatever is written in the Megillah itself. I mean, it's not enough just to have it written, but you have to read the Megillah, and you have to tell over this story of Purim. And then the Megillah ends, Divrei Shalom Ve'emet. The Darshan came Amitah Shel Torah, which is actually Aloch Lamosh Misinai, that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, which you have to draw the lines on the klaf in order to write the letters, and you hang them from that line. The same thing is true by the Megillah. Umamar Esther Kiyam. So wait, they kept the word or what Esther wanted. So now Gemara says, Umamar Esther in Divrei Tzamot Lo. Because there the pasuk says, Divrei Tzamot V'Zakatam. And then Umamar Esther Kiyam. And then it says that they were Mekayim. So what was that word seems to only reference the Mamar Esther, and not reference the other part, which is the Divrei Tzamot V'Zakatam. So Gemara wants to understand, why is it that they accepted what Esther said, but they didn't accept the Divrei Tzamot V'Zakatam? So Gemara says, no, you misunderstood how to read the pasuk, but rather, so Amar Rabbi Yochanan, no, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you should read it this way. Divrei Tzamot U Mamar Esther Kiyam. That they keep both the Divrei Tzamot V'Zakatam and the Mamar Esther came. It's not just referencing the Mamar Esther, it's referencing everything that is written in that, when it says in that Pasuk, the final Pasuk in the ninth parak, Mamar Esther, Kiyam, Divrei, Purim Ha'ele, V'Nichtav B'Sefer, it's not just referencing Mamar Esther, but also that from which is the Pasuk before, which is L'Kayem Et Me'ai Purim Ha'ele B'Zmanehem, Kasher kiyam aleihem Mordechai Yudiv Esther Malkah Kasher kimu al nafsham al zaram Divrei Tzamot v'zakatam. So the Gemara wants to know that they only kept the Mamar Esther, but they didn't keep the Divrei Tzamot v'zakatam. And the Yochanan says no. When it says Mamar Esther kiyam, that references both of those items beforehand. Then it says Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishneh l'Melech Achashverosh V'gadol l'Yehudim V'ratzui the Rov Echav. Gemara says, what does it mean the Rov Echav? How come only the majority of the people liked him? Why didn't everybody like him? That part of the Sanhedrin left him because he had joined the government and that he was involved in these mundane matters. So therefore they distanced him, they pushed him out. So you see over here that the part of the Sanhedrin says that his choice was an incorrect choice here. And the Gemara is now going to bring parallels to that or comparisons here to see what would have been a good choice or not going to be a good choice. Very interesting here, the Ebenezer writes, by about Ratzui the Rov Echav, the Ebenezer on the Megillah writes, that Ratzui the Rov Echav shows that he was a good leader. Mordechai was a good leader. He says, because anybody who is Ratzui the Kol Echav, you can know that he's not a good leader. A good leader gets the majority of the people are happy, and he has to upset some people. If you're pleasing everybody, then you're not doing a good job. That's why it says Ratzur the Rov Echav, that was a compliment to Mordechai, because that's the proper way in leadership. And so now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yoter Matzalat Nefashot. Learning of Torah is bigger or greater than saving lives. Demikara Choshiv Le Mordechai Batar Dalid. Because originally Mordechai is listed after the four individuals. Besov Batar Chamisha. Afterwards, later on, he's listed after five individuals. Mikar Aktiv. In the beginning of Ezra, when it talks about the Aliyah of Zerubbabel to Eretz Yisrael, it says, Asher Bau Im Zerubbabel. These are the people that went with Zerubbabel. Yeshua, Nechamia, Sraya, Relaya, Mordechai, he's the fifth one here, Bilshan. Ublasoftiv, later on in Nechemiah, when it repeats this list from the Zerubbabel, it says there, Abayim in Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nechemiah, Azariah, Ramyo, Nechamani, and then Mordechai, who was listed now as number six, rather than number five. So Bilshan, and then Bilshan at the end. So you see that he was pushed back. As Rashi notes over here, it's not so clear from the stories because both of them are enumerating the Aliyah of Zerubbabel. But the first one is enumerated at the time of Koresh. When Koresh gives in the first year of his reign, gives permission for them to go up to build the Mikdash, that's the first time it's enumerated. The next enumeration is in the seventh year of Daryavish, when Ezra makes Aliyah with the remainder of the Golah that he brings up. This is post the building of the Mikdash, because in the second year of Daryavish Hasheni, they're given permission to finish off the Mikdash. And then, in the seventh year, Ezra goes up with the remainder of the Golah to Eretz Yisrael. This is the way Chazal view it. That means that the story of Purim takes place between those two incidents. And what happened in that time period? That time period, Mordechai switched from being a part of the Sanhedrin, part of the Ayin Zakenim, and he becomes a minister in the government of Achashverosh. So in the enumeration, the first time to the second time, Mordechai's position is lowered because of that. Because Talmud Torah led him to be enumerated as number five, but when he had to do Hatzalat Nefashot, then he gets enumerated as number six. Amar Rav, V'itemer Rav Shmuel Bar Marta, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoter Mibinyan Beit HaMikdash. The Talmud Torah is even greater than the building of Mikdash. As long as Baruch Ben Neri was alive, Lo Inichu Ezra V'ala. Ezra does not leave Bavel and go up to Eretz Yisrael. So once Baruch Ben Neri passes away, then and only then does Ezra go up to Bavel. And in the meantime, when Ezra gets there, the Mikdash is already completed. So he stayed back to learn by his Rebbe, Baruch Ben Neri, rather than to go up to Eretz Yisrael and be a participant in the building of the Beit HaMikdash. So that's what you see. You see that Gadol, Talmud Torah, Gadol is the learning of Torah, rather than Binyan Beit HaMikdash. And then, as Rashi points out here, all of those Nivuot that Baruch has, Bishnat Shtayim LeDayavish Bavel, Hayah Mitnabeh V'Sholech Sarim LeYerushalayim. He had those Nivuot in Bavel, and he was sending up the messages to Yerushalayim to the people building the Mikdash, because it makes it sound there like he's in Yerushalayim. So Rashi says, no, he was really in Bavel sending up the Nivuot to Yerushalayim. And that's why Ezra stays by him in Bavel until he passes away. And once he passes away, then Ezra makes Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, but that's already post the rebuilding of the Mikdash. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoter Mikibod Aveim. That learning of Torah is even greater than Kibud Aveim. Shekolotan Shanim Shei Yaakov Avinu Bebeit Eiver Lo Ne'anash. All those years that Yaakov learnt in the Beit Midrash of Eiver, he was not punished for that. Tam Amar, and then we're going to go through that calculation tomorrow as to how we know that, first of all, Yaakov was in the Beit Midrash of Eiver for 14 years. And how we know the fact that he was not punished for those 14 years, because it's going to take us the rest of the perek to finish that off, so we'll do that tomorrow morning. Okay, we'll stop over here.